Shkachabosa, welcome back. So we have in the parsha, this week's parsha, it talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu presents Moshe Rabbeinu with a mitzvah, so to speak, instructions. It's time to go ahead and appoint someone else, take your place. Okay, Ruch Tov was from Moshe, ask Hashem to please appoint someone instead of me. So Hashem said back to Moshe, Kachucha es Yeshua ben Nun. Take Yeshua ben Nun, Ashtish HaShiruach Bo, V'samach Yishvot HaOrav, V'amarta also V'nei Elazar HaKohen, appoint him in front of Elazar HaKohen, V'nei Kohaida, V'sivisa also Enim, and command him, point him in front of you, in front of them. V'nosato B'heot HaOrav, and you place from your glory, I guess, B'heot HaOrav, R'man Yishbu Kol Adas Ben Yisrael. Okay, so listen. So there's a Sefarno here, what's Pshat, V'sivisa Osol Einehem, what was Hashem telling Moshe Rabbeinu to do? V'sivisa Osol Einehem, command him in front of their eyes. Timna Oso, says the Sefarno, Timna Oso, appoint him, appoint Yeshua bin Nun, Renagid Areihem, as a leader in front of them, Einehem, in front of their eyes, they should see it, Kadeshi Kabruhu, V'yishmu B'kol, they should accept him, and listen to his voice. They should listen to him. He should be the leader that Makabal they accept as a new leader. Right? Okay. That was number one. So the first thing was, the mitzvah was to appoint Yeshua in front of Kal Yisrael, so that they will listen. And then place your hod, your glory upon him. Hod Malchus. Tenro Eze Shrora. Give him some kind of job. Give him some kind of rulership. B'chayecha, when you're still alive, in front of you, Shatchil and Hugbo cover. They should begin now to give him some cover. Why? What was the point of all this? Raman Yishmu. But Tam Haminu says the Sfarno, what is the Pasuk telling you? What's the purpose of the appointment? Re'inehem. What's the reason why you have to do these things when Yeshua, when Moshe is still alive? Raman Yishmu, B'koro, Koro Eda, Shehem, Hasadhedrin, Zifi'om. We want to make sure the Eda, who is the Eda? We're talking about that's the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the Kal Yisrael, the elders, the people, they should listen. That's why it's important to make sure you go ahead and get the ball rolling. And make sure you take him and point him in front of you, everyone should see, he is the leader. So Kash is it very evident on both sides. It makes a lot of sense that you want to have Moshe Rabbeinu be the one to, he shouldn't be self-proclaimed, he shouldn't be appointed later on. Moshe Rabbeinu should be the backer, so if Moshe Rabbeinu is still alive, he has to appoint him. Very nice, that makes sense. Comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. But why does it have to be, Rabbo said, it should be Reinehem, right? Why do you have to schlep Elazar around, I don't want to say the word parade him around, but you know, take him, put him on the pedestal over there, Rabbo said, everyone should know, this Yeshua is your new leader. I would follow Moshe Rabbeinu, I would save Yeshua a lot of time, maybe embarrassment, al-Sanivas, whatever, schlepping around, just go ahead, get up from the bima one day, Elazar Yeshua ben Rather is in the Beis Medrash learning, or he's even resting from his hard job, whatever, he's learning Torah, and he's just making an announcement. Rabbo said, you should know, after I'm gone, the next leader will be Yeshua ben Nun. It's coming straight from Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth, they hear it straight from him, there's no doubt about it, there's no, not going to be a fight, no, the transfer of leadership will be very clear from Moshe Rabbeinu. What difference does it make if Moshe Rabbeinu goes and takes Yeshua and appoints him, Le'enehem, he says. He has to be in front of them. And as far as you know why, to make sure they listen. What do you mean to make sure they listen? Okay, to make sure we don't want to have another Korach or both. We don't have a Korach. Oh, well, he's not the right person. It's Moshe Rabbeinu never wanted him. I mean, if you want to say, well, maybe Hashem never told Moshe, that's still a problem. Elamai, well, maybe Moshe doesn't want, so Moshe has to reinforce it, so fine. But why does it have to be that? It has to be Le'enehem, it has to be in front of them. Let's take Yeshua out to sell. Here, I'm putting the crown on his head, I'm pointing him, he is from now on. What difference does it make about Bosa? The answer is very simple about Bosa, one of the most basic and important Yisodos and Musar, as we'll see in a minute from now also, but basically the answer is because Eino Dom Mishmir Re'iyah. There's no comparison between seeing something and hearing something. We know we're smart people, individuals, we're Ba'al Chochmah. We're talking about the Tzekeinim over here, the elders of the community. We're talking about the Sanhedrin, right? The biggest people of the Torah, right? So you'd assume if you just tell them this is who should be the leader, it's fine. It'll make a difference. If you go ahead and just tell them, and they hear what you're saying, yeah, okay, of course, I know he's the leader, but it doesn't sink into your kishkes. It doesn't get absorbed by osmosis into your being. You don't live it, you don't feel it, right? You know it's intellectually correct, But there's a difference, as all the Bali Musa say, right? What's the farthest distance in the world is between the person's lev and the person's seichel. A person knows something, understands it, but he doesn't inherit, doesn't live it, doesn't. It's not part of his internal makeup. And therefore, not seeing, rather just hearing Moshe Rabbeinu announce Yeshua should be the leader, is nowhere near as convincing, not intellectually, emotionally. Nowhere near as convincing emotionally, or will not be accepted as much on emotional, internal level, as if you have a visual aid, you have a picture in front of you. I saw Moshe Rabbeinu take the leadership and appoint Yeshua in front of me. You saw it. Seeing it is much more, not convincing intellectually, but it makes a difference how a person makabel it. The same thing, similar, the Ramban over here says a similar idea. He says, what's the Sivisa also Einehem, that you should appoint him in front of them, Sheisavenu b'mitzvas hanagid v'ashofet, command Yeshua command Yeshua in the commandment, in the leadership, the responsibility of Nagid to be the leader, v'ashofet, and the judge, ki bavur hayosa l'rosh, because he will be the head, yafkidem b'yadam, or since he is the head, I think it means, since Moshe Rabbeinu is the head, therefore he will appoint him. He will personally appoint him. He will warn Yeshua, he will instruct Yeshua to be very careful in their matters. The Leos Nilcham Mohammed Hashem, to fight the wars of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, via Huha Mosi, Amevi Osam, he should be the one to take him out, to bring him back in. Ulahazir Bedover, Ulizor Bedover HaMishpah, to be careful in judgment. Right? That's what he's telling Yeshua. He's telling Yeshua to please Abosa, be very careful. Please, Yeshua, be careful. These are very precious people, very beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to me. They have a really important job. Watch them carefully. Guide them properly. Be careful in the din Torahs you produce. This Rabban should be in front of them, in front of their eyes. This commandment, this instruction that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving Yeshua of providing him with the guidance of what your job is, the details about how serious the job is, it should be Reinehem. Why? They should be boteach in him and listen to him. They should know. They should realize, since Moshe Rabbeinu told him, so he's going to do it. Moshe did that. So again, the same question of Osa, what do you have to go and do in front of them? Just tell Kai Yisrael, I had a little conversation with Yeshua, right? It wasn't in front of you, it was yesterday afternoon after lunch in my private office. I told Yeshua, he should be very careful. Of course, you trust me. They'll definitely trust Moshe Rabbeinu that he did what he said he did. And I told him that, you know, you guys are great people. He has to be careful. We want emes. We want a great judge. We want a great leader. Be so careful. Why in front of them? Same thing as Abose, same Rabban Sipurno. Because Eino Domo Shmiruia, the most essential way, the most crucial, most beneficial way to get something absorbed inside you, to feel it, is to see it with a visual aid. And a similar Abosai, the Rosh Yeshiva spoke about Yalkut Shimoni in Tillim. In Tillim, or Tashin and Aleph, and Tashin and Gimel, there's a Mizmor in Tillim, Ramasech, Levnei Korach, Al Ramos Shir. There's a Mizmor, Levnei Korach, Al Ramos Shir. On the world, there's a different version, what it means, Al Ramos, the world's Shir. It says the Yalkut Shimoni, Davracher, Alamos. I'm sorry, I forgot one thing about say. I apologize. I forgot where it was. This medrash goes on. It's referring to. It says Uvnei Korach Omesu. Where is that pasuk in the Chumash? I don't know where it's now. Both. I'm sorry. Where is it? I'm sorry? Chafav Yud-Aleph. Okay, thank you very much. Says Rashi, the Pasuk says, Korach Omeis, they didn't die. Says Rashi, Heim Hayu Be'etz Tchila. So the children of Korach were involved in the whole plan with Korach initially. They were against Moshe Rabbeinu. U'b'shas Machokas, Hir Haru Tshuva B'ribam, they did tshuva in their hearts. L'fich Nisbat Shalahem Malkam Gavog B'gehenem, a special place was put aside for them. Gehenem, a higher place, Yashvu Sham, and they sat up there. They never went down to the depths. I guess the hottest part is down deep, I guess. I don't know too much about it, Baruch Hashem. But they had a special higher place, the tshuva, and therefore they weren't so affected, so punished. That's the pasuk says. So they were held up. They didn't join their Korach and his people because they did tshuva. So the Medrash explains, what does this mean? What's that talking about? On this pasuk in Tilum, the Vracher Alamos Shne Alamos. There's two Shne Alamos. Alamos means worlds. Two worlds. Ra'inu. It seems that from the way it seems with the Medrash is saying over here, that they came back and gave a report. And Korach, the Bnei Korach was sitting up there on that ledge, whatever it was, that higher place in the Gehenna, I guess. They were watching what's going on. They saw the whole thing. They didn't die. They were still up there. And we saw two worlds. Shel Sadikim, the Shel Rishon. We saw the world of Sadikim and the world of Rishon. Amr Rav Nachmar, Yitzchak, Ro, Dinim Shel, Osam, Shebatla, Al-Khegam. They saw the din of those that were boteach on their wealth. Osa Shah Ein Asham Omed Lahem. At that time, the time of Gehenna, when they got their punishment, their retribution, all their wealth did not help them. As the Pasuk says in Sfanya, Gam Kaspam, Gam Zohavim, or Yuchal Asim. Couldn't save them. They were very wealthy people, some of them. They had tons of money. We called the SS monopoly money, whatever, right? But it didn't help them at all. Wealthy people. Those Rishon. So Meikarach told people, Al Tiru Me'oso Yom Shemanarach Rosh Baruch Hu Es'oretz. Abbas, don't be afraid. I guess he was turned to Sadiq then. Don't be afraid of the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be turned the whole upside down, punish the world. Heichon Sadiqim Omnim, where will the Sadiqim be at that time? Be'atav Beikim Hashem Olkeichem. You'll be fine. You'll be close to Hashem. Hashem will take care of you. They said, we saw that, they said, don't be afraid, Korach said. They Korach said, Ro Nisim Sh'asa Imanu, look at this, at the Nisim which Hashem did for us. Because Hashem opened the mouth of the earth and you all swallowed up, but they were Tui and Bavar, they were being held up in the air. They didn't die. That's what it means. So basically, it seems Rabbeinu says, it's a little hard to put all these couple of different paragraphs, it's hard to put together, but I think what it means is, I mean, Rosh Hashanah explained it, that Bnei Korach were being held up there, they were held up on a ledge or in the air, someplace like that, and they came back and gave this report. What was the report? What did they tell us? They came back and they told us, Rabosai, we saw everything. We saw two worlds over there. We saw the worlds of Rishon and the worlds of Sadiqim. What did I see? So let me tell you both worlds. I'll tell you what happened. You should know what's going on over there, down in the afterlife, right? The Rishon are not saved. They get to Gehenna, which is deserving of them. They can have all the money in the world they want, or they had, and they accumulated. It didn't help them one drop. And Sadiqim, on the other hand, they were saved. Nisim happened to me up, you know, in this world, and it happens to the Sadiqim over there also. There's no problem. Don't worry about it. The world will be turned upside down, whatever. Menachos, Baruchos, Oretz, but it's not a problem. Don't worry. You're Sadiq, you're safe. Don't worry. So Rosh Hashanah asked Rabbeinu, what's going on? These people are very, very smart people, Bnei Korach. They gave us a very tremendous lesson. What was the lesson? That a guy who's a very wealthy person, it won't help them one drop. Rabbeinu said, come on. Hanan, you ever hear that lesson? You know the lesson before? I mean, you know it. Every first grader knows about it, right? You can't take it with you. Right? It doesn't help. You can be a very wealthy person. It does not help one drop. Whether you're Goy, whether you're Jew, whether you're Sadiq, whether you're Russian, it doesn't mean anything. You have Midas Maisim Tov, you have Mitzvos, you have Chasadim, you have Veiros, but that's what you take with you, the good and the bad, but not the money. So Korach's children came back to the Rabbeinu, I want to tell you something, you know? All I saw, I can tell you, I'm a first-hand witness, Ra'inu, Osa Shah, we saw Ein Ashram Omed Lahem. It didn't help them one drop their wealth. What's the Chiddush? What's the point of coming to tell you? That's the big Chiddush, tell me. Okay, one time Sadiqa maybe a little Chiddush, you know, you have Kwar Nisim, Hashem does Nisim for you. So it might go crazy, there's a terrible, World War III or Gogol Magog, whatever, and you're afraid, you're nervous, how will you escape it? Okay, fine, maybe some kind of Chiddush over there, I guess. That by the Sadiqim, it's not going to affect them. But to tell us that the Rishon, the wealth is not going to help them after 120 years by Gehenna, what's the point? So they're both say, the terrorists are both say, the same idea are both say, that people do not feel and act according to their knowledge, intellect. Everyone knows, you can't take it with you. But you have people, tons of people, hundreds of people, they go to their deathbed, they're about to die, they still can't Bali Musar are full of these stories, right? They still can't let go of their money. They still, at least subconsciously, feel that, you know, I'm okay. I did okay. I accomplished a lot. And look what I have in me. I'm not going to even stuck it now. I don't give it here. Whatever. You have chesed with honor. You know, no, they can't. They're so attached to it. And they still give subconscious recognition and value to the fact that I'm a very wealthy guy. And therefore, I'm better. I'm safer than the guy next to me. That guy is not going to fare so well as I will. That's what they feel subconsciously. Why? Because although they know intellectually, 100%, they know, and there's no shadow in their mind. You ask them, they won't hesitate and stutter and tell you, well, I'm not sure, maybe because I have some money. No, everyone knows. You know, you can bury your Cadillac with you, and the thing won't help you, right? It doesn't help. And there was one guy, like one of these big rock singers, right? He was buried with his Cadillac, something like that, I don't know, like, whatever. But Gemara said, everyone else is not going to help her both sides. But Bnei Korach had to tell you, they felt the responsibility to tell a special Kiddush. What was the Kiddush? To knock it in. I saw it. It's not just intellectual, but I saw it with my own two eyes. And listen to me. This is what I'm saying. I'm telling you, I was there. I've been there and done that. That's very important, very necessary, and very meaningful. Because without that, we're not as strong. We don't see as clearly what we know is true. We don't feel. It's not absorbed in our kishkes that, you know, I know that it's not going to make it. People unconsciously think that whatever I have, the better, the more powerful I am, the more popular I am, the more money I have, all this stuff will help me out somehow. I feel better than the guy next to me. Even though I know it's not true, but they act as if, you know, people act different than they understand. That's the difference between Yedia and between Hargosha. It has to be absorbed. That's what Musar means about. So we learned yesterday about, we read the first paragraph from Musar HaSharon. What does it say over there? That you have to be the Yisoda Hasidus, what? She is the Barer. Right? So we all know the Musar HaSharon says everything he writes is all pashut. It's all pashut. We all know what our job is. It's not a philosophy course. It's a course which allows us and enables us to absorb it, to feel that which we know, to internalize, to emotionalize everything we know in our cup, in our head, and to live it, act as if it's second nature. That's the kunz. The kunz is to absorb everything we know, to chazr over again and again, emotionalize it, internalize it, feel it, and live according to that which we know. That's what we need. You need a video, you need an audio visual aid sometimes. It helps if you see it, seeing it. It helps someone comes back and gives a report that he saw firsthand. He tells the what. So even though I know, I come on, quiet. Korach, I'm not stupid, Bnei Korach. What do you think, I'm a dummy? Of course I know what you're saying. He knows that it makes a difference. Bnei Korach knows it makes a difference. That he comes back with a report and tells them, this is what I saw. They'll feel it a little stronger.